Seated this morning. I appreciate the prayer. I appreciate God's house. I realize this is just a tabernacle where we gather together, but there's something special about God's people when they meet together, and I have found this to be true in my Christian experience, that there is help in the house of God. I don't know at the times I've walked in and he's been there to help me. And we need help this morning. Our families need help. Our churches need help. Our country needs help. And there is help to be found when God's people gather together. I don't know how you believe. I know what I believe. I know that when you come to church, God meets with his people, and there are things that go on there that don't go on anywhere else in my Christian experience. There's help here. There's hope here. Hallelujah. This world don't, they can't give you no hope. They can talk to you about the ecstasy of drink and drugs and all of that, but they can't give you hope. But I'm glad we got a message of hope beyond this world and hope in this world. And thank God for help and hope. There's healing here. I've seen people get their hearts healed spiritually. Thank God there's healing around God's house. And then ever so often, there's heaven around here. Hallelujah. This is just the gate of heaven, Jacob said, about the house of God. And it's just good to be here this morning. We're going to go ahead and have our first message. There'll be three men preaching again this morning, 20 minutes apiece, and then Brother Tom will end our session. We'll have some special singing, and we have come to magnify the Lord and to honor him. Going to ask Brother Taylor Pennell. He pastors the Macedonia Baptist Church here in Taylorsville. I appreciate their support of camp meeting and their love for camp meeting. Brother Taylor's one of ours, out of our church family. We were privileged to ordain him to preach the gospel. He's God's man for this time, this morning. You hear him gladly as he preaches. I love you, brother.
Well, amen. It's good to be in camp meeting this morning, is it not? I do appreciate the Lord. I appreciate his goodness and mercy to me and my family, and God has been greater to me than I can even explain to you, greater than I can fathom or think. I thank him most of all for saving me today, and it is a joy to be able to preach here at camp meeting. Many certainly more qualified to stand here than myself, but I do appreciate the opportunity that's been given me, and just want to try to magnify the Lord the very best that we can today. And so if you have a copy of the Word of God this morning, I want to be inviting you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 23. The book of Luke, chapter number 23. I'll be honest with you, I have begged the Lord since Monday night to not make me preach out of this text, because Brother Rudy's been here this week. But I want to try to look at something from just a little bit different light this morning. You found your place, say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 23, I want to begin reading in verse number 39 and preach for just a few moments on this thought. Today, tomorrow may be too late. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed You study that little word indeed, that just means it's a fact, Jack. We're getting what we deserve. For justly receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Here in our text this morning in Luke 23, 39 through 43, we find that the Lamb of God has been led to Mount Calvary, where he will ultimately pay the price for our sin debt. Jesus has bore the cross up to the place of skull, which is called Golgotha. He has been aided by Simon the Cyrenian. And up to this point, Jesus has been sentenced to death. He's been beaten beyond recognition. He's been mocked and battered and tattered by the Roman soldiers. All the while, even upon getting nailed to the cross in these verses, he still has time in his last and final fleeting breath to pray for those who have done him wrong, to pray for those who have rejected him, to pray for those who have beaten him so cruelly beyond recognition. We find in these verses that truly that the shepherd, the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, he is proving that he has what it takes to give his life for the sinner. I'm glad this morning that in a place that seems so unlikely for something to happen, so unlikely for someone to be saved, Jesus is fixing to save those sinners by paying for our sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. While there are those around him who are crying for him to save himself, if he really is who he says he claims to be. Listen, what was going on in this text is the irony of it all is that if Jesus would have saved himself, the world, the sinners would have perished and died and went to hell. Had Jesus called down 10,000 legions of angels, or had he dropped the cross and said, I'm done, I'm going no further, there would have been no hope for you and me today. We could spend much time talking about many things in this text this morning, but I want to take a look at the life of this thief who gave his life to the Lord in his final fleeting breath, even before this man passed away and he died and stepped out into eternity. There was something that happened inside of this man's heart. He came to the realization that Jesus was, in fact, who he said he was, and by faith afar, he saw something different about this man rather than anybody else on the scene that day. It became a living reality in his soul while he was dying that Jesus was exactly who he said he was going to be. I want you to realize and understand that it's been said this morning, for one to prepare for tomorrow, he must in fact trust Jesus today. I want you to realize and understand that we're living day by day. Tomorrow is not promised. I realize that the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field, they're just faith in this thing. They're living day by day. And that's exactly how you and I need to live. We need to give it everything we got today, because tomorrow may never come. I want you to understand this morning that the way this thief died is not ideal. Listen, there's a lot of people in our world today. They think they can live like they want to, do what they want to do, be what they want to be. And when it comes down to where they're on the deathbed, that they can settle things on their own. I'm here to tell you this morning the way that this man died was not ideal. But how he died is the way that everybody will have to die before they'll enter into the gates of heaven, and that is to be born again by the precious Lamb of God. There are some things this morning that this thief has realized about the Savior in his last hours on earth that prepared him for the world to come. Number one, and I'm going to try to move very quickly. I want to say that he recognized the holiness and the righteousness of God while he was hanging on the cross. It has been said that the holiness of God is one of the most important ideas that the Christian can grapple with in this life. It is the basic to our understanding of Christianity and God himself. I want to say this morning that everything about our Lord is holy. Even his name, his attributes, his ways, his wisdom, his knowledge, everything about our God is holy. In fact, our God is so holy and so righteous that there's a crowd in heaven this morning. The cherubims and seraphim, they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." There is nowhere else in the Word of God where you find an attribute that is magnified three times such as this. You don't find love, love, love. You don't find grace, 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 or mercy, mercy, mercy. But you do see in the very throne room of God, there's a crowd saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." The thief on the cross in his final breath, that Jesus was in fact the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. If we look in verse number 41, we'll read what the Bible says. "And we indeed justly for what we receive, the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing, nothing, nothing amiss." If you study out this little word amiss, it carries the idea of improper or wicked or unrighteous, harmful, inconvenient, unreasonable, or injurious. And I don't know about you this morning, but there's a lot of things that describe my Lord, but ain't nary one of them that describes who he is. This man said he has done nothing amiss. The thief realized that what had come to him should have been, but what was coming to Jesus should not have been. He recognized the holiness of the Lord God Almighty. I want to say this morning, listen. He realized death was fitting for him, but not the one that was hanging beside him. His coming to the knowledge that Jesus had done no wrong showed the inside of his repentant heart was indeed in need of saving. His attitude changed. His language changed. He had changed. His look had changed. His pride had changed. And he had got real low while he was hanging here on the cross. His entire past had come before his very eyes as he sat in the courtroom in front of the Lord Jesus to sacrifice for the sins of the world. It would be on this cross that the shepherd would die for the sheep. It would be on this cross that the thief realized the situation should not have been the way that it was unfolding, but it had to be this way in order for his request to be met. You say, what was that request? "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Can you imagine the shame and the guilt that must have been clung to him for how he had talked to the Lord just previously, for all of his crimes, his cussing and fussing, making a mockery out of him? Oh, how conviction must have settled in on this man's heart. I want to say, he recognized the holiness of God. Listen to me this morning. The one that was suspended between heaven and hell to pay the final payment for our sins of this wicked world. You see, we must realize it was, listen, don't miss this. It was the sinlessness of Christ that qualified him to die for the sinner. It was the sinlessness of Christ that qualified him to die for the sinner. I want you to realize this morning, do you think, and I'm just thinking in my mind here this morning, do you think that this thief, while he was hanging there, do you think he may have reflected about some things while he was there? Maybe he reflected about the walk up Calvary's mountain, because the Bible says that they were led with him. They made the trip with him. Do you think something struck a chord in his heart about the agony and the pain, and maybe they were trampling the very blood of the Lord Jesus? And listen, there's a lot of things going on in this scene. They saw a dismantled figure of a man, but yet who is God incarnate. Can you imagine this morning what must have been going through their hearts and their mind? They witnessed God's plan from before the foundation of the world. That lamb that was slain, they were watching God's plan unfold right before their very eyes. And God was allowing them to be a part of it. Every time that he must have stumbled, every time that he must have fallen, every time that he must have gasped for a breath, I believe that this man, he went from cussing to cheering him on, because he realized that what this man was going to do would later answer his request on the cross. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus went a little further? Aren't you glad that he took one more step? Aren't you glad that he didn't lay it down and he didn't walk away? Jesus went a little further. I wonder about what was said on the cross by the thief who would later enter paradise if to walk up Calvary's mountain did not change his whole perspective. I wonder if it registered to him that if Jesus failed to make it, he would die lost. This morning we may never truly know what all was going through this man's heart and mind, but what we do have, the Holy Ghost put it on paper. I'm telling you this morning, he was much humbler than his partner was. While the one thief criticized, the other confessed to him. While the other was stubborn and prideful, the other surrendered to him. While the one belittled him, the other blessed him. While the one railed on him, the other repented. While one hung over the gates of hell, the other one hollered in a repentant heart, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." While one tempted him to come down, the other one must have cried, "Oh, Lord God, just stay. Just do it a little bit longer. Just finish the work." What would it have been like to hear the cries from the cross? To hear the Lord's very heart, to see his humility and obedience unto death, even the death of the cross, to hear him pray the prayers that he prayed on the cross that Brother Rudy has so graciously given to us this week. I want to say this morning, until one sees a crucified Savior, you'll never see a risen Lord. And this morning, if you do not see Calvary through an empty tomb, I'm telling you this morning, you can get a good glimpse of what Jesus has done through his death, burial, and his resurrection. What would it have been like to see Jesus being nailed to the cross? The pain, the agony. Never once do we hear the Lord complain. Never once do we hear him grumble. Never once does he say, "Bless God, when I get out of this mess, they're going to get it." Oh, no, no, no. That's not what the Lord does. I want you to realize this morning that he is in control. He may look like the victim, but he's really the victor. The thief recognized eternal life was not based on what he had done, but rather what Christ was doing on the cross beside of him. Listen, he had based his forgiveness of what Jesus had already prayed. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He recognized the holiness of God. Secondly, now moving forward, he recognized the honor of the Savior. Verse number 42, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Amen. Here it was that the thief on the cross not only recognized the holiness of God and the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus, but that also that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love this little word, Lord. It's the capital L, lowercase O-R-D. It is that word Adonai, which means the sovereign one. Here again, in his final fleeting breath, the thief recognizes he is in the presence of a king. Oh, it doesn't look like it. But sure enough, he's in the presence of the God of the universe. Notice he talks about the Lord's kingdom. It has been said that a dead man don't have any kingdoms, but not so with the Lord Jesus. This thief recognized that this was not the end of this man. 33 and a half years, give or take, was not the end of the Lord Jesus. Because he always had been, and he was, and he always will be. But this was just a place where he had to stop and take care of some business. Amen. Listen, I'm glad this morning it's been said that dead men don't have kingdoms, and the thief knew that this king would inherit more than just a tomb or a graveyard. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this man knew that Jesus would live again. And I'm glad that he does. Amen. I'm not talking about a dead or a born God this morning. I'm talking about a resurrected Lord. He wanted Jesus to remember him. Even though those about the cross that day, even some of the Lord's closest followers, couldn't even see him as who he said he was. But here's a man who's dying on the cross right beside of the Lord. He recognizes the holiness of God. He recognizes the honor of God. He sees him as a king. The thief wanted Jesus to be the king and Lord of his life. And he believed the king would live again. Don't miss this either. Listen, the thief on the cross gained more in a matter of hours than he gained his whole life in accumulated stolen goods. I'm going to say it again. This man in just a few hours gained more in these moments than he had stolen in his whole entire life. This man had probably stolen things that only money could buy. But what he did not have to steal that the Lord was fixing to give him was eternal life, where moth and rust could not disintegrate and destroy. I'm glad what the Lord Jesus gives, it'll work. It'll work. He got more than silver and gold. He got more than riches and money and pearls. He got eternal life. And this morning, hallelujah, he can sing, I hold a clear title to a mansion. Hallelujah. Not only did he recognize the holiness of God, the honor of the Savior, but he recognized the hour of the Savior. Thank God Jesus this morning can save today. This man said, remember me today. Remember me. I'm also well aware this morning that Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We see that the thief was looking for a kingdom. He was looking for a kingdom. But aren't you glad this morning the Lord, he knows how to go just a step further. You know, he does give the good and perfect gifts. The king said, or the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord said, I'll do you one better. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'll let you do the word study on that, but there's a whole big difference between a mansion and paradise. But the Lord this morning, he gave this man full assurance of his salvation. Even though it would have been most painful to speak on the cross, he pushed up one more time and spoke to this man. I'm glad this morning you can know that you know that you know. Isn't it something how the first paradise was tattered by sin, but because of the spotless Lamb of God, the next paradise will be sinless. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Don't spurn the opportunity while the Lord is here and the Lord is present. I want to say this morning that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. I'll leave you with this thought and I'm done. Today is the Lord's word for salvation, but tomorrow is the devil's. Say you don't got no Bible for that. Well, sure I do. Today is the day of salvation. And this morning I challenge you, if there's somebody here that does not know him in the free pardon of sin, today you can, because tomorrow may be too late.